Supervisor.
This is the Music Supercast.
It's in my interest, in ours perhaps, for me to smoke a joint and calm down.
Hosted by Supergroup's Mary Prankster and lead music supervisor David Heyman. Recorded out of their Toronto and LA headquarters. Produced by Sorrel Sound and all vetted by me, Amani Sabri. Check out the Supercast blog at wearethesupergroup.com/MSC and don't forget to share.
I think I got my swagger back.
I didn't have any female musician role models growing up except for Josie and the Pussycats, so it makes me feel like I'm doing something positive for people who might not have a positive influence otherwise.
Welcome back to the Music Supercast. I hope everybody is okay. I truly do. It's uncertain times, and it's very easy to be safe. Being safe means being at home. It means social distancing. It means also getting fresh air, taking walks, and listening to podcasts, listening to music, getting your shit together, and turning to art, like everyone's always done in times of crisis. So we're here. The Music Supercast is up and running. We got goodies coming at you week after week. I'm at home. Casa de Heyman, definitely not at the Supergroup. Things are shutting down right, left, and center. It's wild, wild times. Just had a production closed doors. We are not going into the studio. We're not rehearsing. We're not laying down the horns. It's just not happening. And I guess we're all okay with that. That's just the way it goes. We had a big client do a little pivot, so we're on another search for a huge ad. We had a song that, if it were to be released, would just be ridiculous right now. And, you know, we roll with the punches. There are good opportunities here. There's silver lining. I really do believe this is a chance for people to brush up on their sync packages, their scripts, their art. Everyone's turning to art so they can consume music, consume film, consume all this art, and turn to artists when you are looking for a little bit of a bright spot. Maybe even turn a podcast on, go for a walk. I encourage everyone to get outside. Good practice, go for a walk, turn a podcast on. You come back, you're healthy, you're educated, you feel good. This one's a good one. I had Pony Sam Belensky in, and we chatted it up. This podcast is definitely brought to you by Hostess Potato Chips, Hot Pink Play-Doh, and the Guild of Music Supervisors Canada. We're going to talk a little bit about South By, which didn't happen, but we do talk about what an artist goes through to get ready for something like that, the DIY process. We had a great conversation. We talked about our shared love of pop culture. We cover the gamut of topics here, and we do talk about her music, which is self-released. It's coming soon. Follow them at Pony the Band. We're going to be previewing some of the songs here, the titles, and talking about what's going on. We do talk about Limerence, which is her song out. We talk about her past work. And I did not mention that she was synced on Letterkenny. The song DIY was in season 4. And yeah, we're super proud of being able to like pitch her music, work with her stuff. And I hope that you at home are putting your shit together, getting it ready for music supervisors, MP3s, MP3 instrumentals, a tight little package in a zip file. Flip it over, make it tight. Make it something that's fresh and exciting and activate your income, your dormant kind of songs that maybe you're digging up, things you're finding that might work as underscore. There's income to be had. Syncs are still happening. Shows are still running. Things might be on pause, but we're definitely in post on a lot of things, and music supervisors around the world are busy. Sync agencies are busy. Things are going on. So now's a good time to get in shape musically, get in shape, with your shit. And follow Pony at Pony the Band on Instagram. And for everyone that can, please create, please share, please spread love, and please take care of each other. Enjoy the podcast with Pony. Here we fucking go.
Everyone always wants a pony.
Right on. Of course they want a pony. I want a pony. That's a hint. Allie, if you're listening, I want a pony. So who is Pony, though? It's not just you, is it?
So I would be like the primary songwriter.
Right.
And right now playing in the band is my partner, Maddie Morand, who also is the front person of Pretty Maddie.
Right. Okay.
And And then Lucas Horn plays drums, and we have our friend Shane Jelinas playing bass.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So you get that's the entire band you're going to bring out to South By this
yes.
time around?
Yeah.
Amazing. Are you doing part of Canadian Blast, or are you doing it on your own?
Right now, we're just doing it on our own.
That's amazing.
It's very DIY.
Yeah, you're like label free right now.
Yes, that's correct.
Label free and happy, or label free and hunting?
I think hunting. We just self-released a song, and that felt very good and productive, and it felt nice to know about all of the things that go into releasing a song on your own, instead of kind of trusting that someone else is going to do it for you. So that felt really nice, but it's also really nice having a team of people who believe in you and who want to share your vision with people.
Right.
So I guess we're like kind of hunting, kind of.
But it's all you. I mean, you being the principal songwriter and the, you know, doing all the imagery and kind of vetting everything, you're also probably the one late at night making sure everything's correct.
Totally.
Coordinating.
Yes.
And like, yeah, that kind of a headache.
It's a lot of work being in a band that I didn't realize.
Is it worth it, Sam?
It is.
That's all we want to hear.
I'd say so.
Of course it's worth it. I mean, you don't have to get a real job.
That's true, although right now I do have that, but it's still fun.
But that's, you know, the ultimate goal is to get into this like perpetual arrested development that people will take seriously, especially
yeah.
your parents and
totally.
Your banker.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the key.
When a couple years ago, I was in a Shoppers Drug Mart commercial as myself, as an actor, and my mom still talks about it. Like,
amazing.
Remember when you were in that Shoppers Drug Mart commercial? So I hope to achieve with Pony the success I once achieved as an actor, you know?
God bless. It's like the Drake model, right? You
yes.
should put your music videos into Shoppers Drug Mart.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, it's tough. Like, you know, Pony in this city is superstar-ish. I mean, really, what did I have written down here? Pony's the brat, grunge, giddy-up, rock, swirled, Sunday pop darling of the Toronto indie scene.
I'm going to cry. That is so nice.
That's the way I feel, and that has been established here. But it's new to the rest of the planet
mm-hmm.
who's listening right now, by the way. Fucking millions of listeners.
The whole world.
It's insane, and they're all leaving comments on iTunes.
I can't wait.
Yeah, no, it's after this, change your name.
My phone is blowing up.
But Sam, this is the true like big offering that you've got, and it's established out here, you know, very much so.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's beloved. It's considered amongst, you know, everything that we do as music supervisors when we're having conversations about cooler bands in the city or what way to go. We pitch your music quite often.
That's so nice.
You know, you don't know it. I'm going to show you something after, a little cool one. But, you know, what's the plan of attack as a DIY on your own? Like, is it got to take a deep breath, go to South By and see what happens? Or is there support elsewhere?
That, I would say, is probably the plan right now, is we have assembled some assets. We're ready to go.
What does that mean? No, seriously. Because this is the Nuts and Bolts podcast
totally.
Where people are curious. Like, okay, she's talking about going to South By and getting the assets together. But like, how do they do it if they're a new band? Like, what are those assets?
For sure. So we have been working on our record for a while.
Mm-hmm.
We went into the studio a year ago. And we weren't really pleased with the result. So we've been slowly... It's also hard, it's not very feasible to financially make all these things when you're the only one putting
right.
money into the project. So it takes a lot longer.
Right.
But we have been working on fixing the record, making it something we can feel really proud of. We've been assembling like press photos and getting our friends to help us make some videos.
And that's like that's not just let's get it, right?
Right.
That's after sort of what I'm trying to say by you being this established sort of grunge pop indie rock swirled Sunday darling of the scene, is that you have some great assets already,
mm-hmm.
but you're talking about tightening it up.
Tightening it up, getting a cohesive package together.
Right.
Because
so it's throwing out stuff, or is it building?
It's definitely like building, I think. and like making sure that the people who you're working with are people that you trust and people who will have your back at the end of the day.
Right.
I think a lot of people want to be in a band and want to play music, but aren't really ready for how much shit you're going to eat when you decide to like take it more seriously. You're going on tour and you're sleeping on floors and you're not making any money. And then you have to come back to Toronto, presumably, or wherever you're from, and you have to pay rent and you have to make it work. It does not stop.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of really hard work. And sometimes you kind of feel like shit. But at the end of the day, every time Pony plays a show, at least one person, non-male person, will come up to me after the set and say, thank you so much for playing in our small city. And like, can I ask you a couple questions about how you got started as a musician? Or like, what's your songwriting process? Or like, I'm starting a band too.
And you like that.
Live for that. Like, really? That is like, awesome. I didn't have any female musician role models growing up except for Josie and the Pussycats, the 2001 film. So it's like makes me feel like I'm doing something positive for people who might not have a positive influence otherwise. Can't stand this time of day.
You have people who supported you and got excited about it at some point in their creative process. Therefore, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you can have the confidence to move ahead.
True. And it may not be, right now, monetarily valuable.
But it's in the position.
Yeah. And it's valuable in other ways.
So the it being literally, is that like all condensed down to an EPK that is like hyperlinked all over the place with, yeah, is that what it is? You want ultimately a booker or somebody to open up a document, not a web page. You want something separate, right? And then they're hyperlinking from there, or do you just send them to your web page and say, good luck, I hope everything's tight?
Right.
What is the it?
I think it's, I'm not sure exactly what it is.
Like, what's the calling card when you go to Austin? There's some bands that have joked and they have cards and stuff, but those have just turned into garbage, you know what I mean?
Totally.
I'll download the music if there's a download code always.
Yeah.
Is that it? I don't know if that's
like, what's the elevator pitch?
Yeah, like, what's in the mess of South By? You've been there, you've been there a couple
times.
It's
probably going to be a bit of a shit show, you know, because it's so oversaturated with a bunch of musicians, a bunch of fans, a bunch of people who are probably there just to party. So I think that for me, my personal goal for South By is to show up and just show everybody that we're a really tight live band.
And let it go from there?
Yeah.
So people Google Pony the Band.
Yeah.
And then, so the assets there are just a kind of thing, whatever's out there is out there. Because I tried to like look at some live performances of you and there's not much.
That's true.
But what's there is great.
Wow.
And we will put a link to which, I don't know what we have out there. The Rec Room performance is fantastic.
Thank you.
So I don't know if you had curated or cleaned out the crap, but trust me, bands, like there's so much garbage on you out there and I don't like it. And, you know, somebody who like pitches bands for activations and not only just like synchronizations, I'm on the back end pulling assets into my, you know, pitches and decks and whatnot. And it's disheartening sometimes bands that don't keep it clean, you know, and you do it so well. So
Thank
I just
you.
Wanted to compliment you that it seems like if Austin was tomorrow, you'd be in a good place.
Wow.
Well, I like you, and I know that the music supervisors here like you.
That means so much to me because I love TV.
Oh, great. Like, I saw that. TV. That's like your favorite pastime is snacks and TV and just chilling. And like,
I love TV so much. Any kind of TV, I'll watch
it. What's your jam? Or right now, what's
right
your jam?
Right now,
yeah.
I can't get enough of Tim Robinson.
Okay.
I feel like he's my friend, but he's not. But I've watched I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson. probably like 10 times. He's so funny. He's so cool.
Oh my God. The you insane show. That yes. show is insane yeah. and I love it.
Yeah. It's so good.
I did watch that show. Like yeah. nothing like that on television. No,
I know. And it's like for some reason, my like perfect brand of comedy.
Great. Okay. So we get along. So do you watch like Adult Swim kind of shit?
I have. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but after moving out on my own and just having Netflix, I became like a real Netflix hoe, you know?
Just, I get you.
I'll watch anything.
There's good shit in yeah. that pocket, though. If yeah. you liked, you know, that, you're into maybe End of the Fucking World, which yes. had great music.
Yep.
That's a show that could be pony friendly.
Totally.
Right? You could have heard totally. The music in there.
Yeah.
What off the new album do you think is the most syncable song?
Oh my God. This is like, this plagues me.
Do you think about that?
I think about these things all the time.
Really?
And I, do you write to it? Think, like, no, but I should. That would be really cool, I think.
I think you kind of do and don't realize it.
Maybe.
Both the editors and the musicians kind of edit at a 4-4 time in North America.
Whoa.
So we have a lot of happy accidents where music supervisors just look good. Because wow. all we've done is popped in a song and we're like, oh my God. They're editing at the same pace of the song, and it's just like all happening, you know?
I can't really write a song unless I'm watching TV.
Cool.
So I don't know, maybe that has, or sometimes I'll be watching TV.
No, that's cool. That's,
they'll you, say something.
And even like, with like the noise on and stuff. Like,
yeah.
That's crazy.
I kind of need it.
Yeah.
It's too, if it's just me and my brain, I think I'm just constantly like editing myself, you know?
So you don't think of them as a scene per se, but an energy that comes from the box, the pop culture box.
Totally.
Yeah.
The box is my best friend.
So to me, listening to the album, which mm-hmm. is fantastic, you gave me an advance on it. I fucking love it.
Thank you.
It's great energy. Off the top, it has that, you know, poppy grunge, Veruca Salt energy, you know, and it drives and drives. Fat waveforms, big songs, you know, stuff that I would see on like a Letterkenny or something like that.
Totally.
Like a poppin' scene. But then, to me, it's tracked backwards. Music supervisors who get this, listen to it backwards. There's way more space in the latter songs of the album, like more interesting intros
yeah.
that maybe you're fucking around. You're like, this ain't going to play on the radio. Right. I don't need to put this to my like fans first to like consume. But there's a shifting EQ,
yeah.
A longer bridge in songs like Cry and Sunny. Like that I yeah. love.
Those are like the moodier songs for sure.
So to me,
cool.
it's, you know, Music Supers, if you're listening, get the link from Sam. She's awesome. She'll respond to you right away. Get the tunes, listen to it backwards, and really feel the dynamics because those breathe. And I think they, like, because they breathe, they strut, you know, because cool. you get a shift and a movement.
Totally.
I feel it. It's good.
Yay.
I love the song titles themselves, and I don't think Limerence even fits in with those song titles.
No.
If I can just run through them, Fake Friend, Furniture, By the Way, My Room, Sometime Later, Couch, Sunny, Cry, and Swore.
Yeah.
To me, those all sound like grievances of a roommate. Am I wrong?
It's true. Kind of, like the words themselves.
Yeah, I'm going to write it in the show notes, just the track listing. You can see that. It literally looks like a list of grievances.
Wow, that's very funny.
Well, and the By the Way is just a bridge. And yeah. by the way, it's my room. Sometime later, you came in. You're always using the couch. The blinds are never open.
Oh,
you're crying
God.
All the fucking time.
I'm the one crying all the time.
And, you know, you swear a little bit too much for my liking.
That's very funny.
So it works in an arc. To me, yeah. it tells a story. And again, to me, the story really resolves nicely because wow. I put it on. I kind of expected a rock album and it rocked and I was there, you know, but by the time I was kind of, I just think, you know, personally, you get tired of like pop punk and grunge and stuff. And at that point, the album shifts and starts taking dynamic breaths. Mm-hmm. So it's tracked very well. It's a beautiful album. And I am excited to see this pink beast when it's released.
Hell yeah.
So we like to run through some questions. In your darkest hours, how have potato chips gotten you by?
I eat potato chips so much. And it's probably going to really... It's probably going to be really bad for my heart one day, but I cannot stop. I don't crave anything on earth except potato chips. I love them. I like have a bag of chips in my house pretty much at all times. And like while I'm making dinner, I'm eating chips.
Amazing.
And then after dinner for dessert, I'm usually eating chips again.
So I want to see the album art pink and beautiful with like some chip crumbs.
Chip crumbs.
On.
Yeah.
What artists were you listening to at age 13?
13. What grade is that? Like
grade
8? Grade 8. I was listening to, I think I had like just kind of discovered Nirvana on my own. I was transitioning from being a pretty big Beatles fan into becoming a pretty big Nirvana fan. I was also listening to No Doubt.
Okay.
And then probably like, Blink 182. I remember I dated this guy when I was in grade 8 and I bought him the Blink 182 CD for Valentine's Day.
Was his name Cody Partridge?
No.
Oh, because our music coordinator is obsessed with Blink 182. Oh. And I think it's because a girl broke his heart once.
Oh, shucks.
Yeah.
No. We're going to get into that. I'm not from here originally, so.
That's what they all say.
Yeah.
I don't know Cody. Right on. So then 21.
I had just moved here. Or I had just finished college, so I had lived here for a while. I just finished musical theater school. So it was pretty intense, my program. So I was probably listening to a ton of musical theater in that year. I love The Breeders so much, probably one of my favorite bands, but I didn't start listening to The Breeders until like I was probably like 19.
Right.
So it wasn't.
Because your parents, because you don't have
you know,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're not in a Spotify stream world.
Exactly. You don't have like, unless you have like a cool friend who's like, take these CDs or take this. And you don't really have access to the internet and whatnot. You're kind of living in like a little bubble of local radio.
I fortunately had a father who spent all of my, you know, trust fund and everything on CDs and stuff. Wow. And my dad was obsessed. That's where a lot of my records come from. The collecting and the having to have, it was important to him. So like pouring through inserts and whatnot. Mm-hmm. That's again where I get like judged book by its cover. It's like when it comes to art, I love it, you know? And as I do with films and whatnot. So it's just interesting that you're breaking out of something.
Yeah.
And have been for some time,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome.
Yeah.
Because the world needs more Pony. My last question is, what film is most important to you, just generally? And I guess that's a better way of framing it. If these, like, I'm going to assume one was a girl, but young girl comes up to you that's a little bit mouthy and a little bit worldly, she thinks. What's the one film you tell her to say, look, Susan, fucking sit down and rent? For me, it's Magnolia, you know? If you want to just see that life's a roller coaster and none of it makes sense in the end, just chill the fuck out. We're all in this together. That's me.
Wow.
Or Easy Rider, if I just like, it's just an open road, man.
This is such a hard question.
That's why it's the last one, Sam.
It's the last question. You know, I think, truthfully, the film that I think I can get the most from in many, many ways is Mean Girls.
Okay.
Because...
Shouts to Rachel.
Rachel, Lindsay,
Toronto girl, Lindsay,
Tina.
There you go.
It is a movie about people trying to coexist in this world. And sometimes they're not very nice to each other. It's funny. There's good music in it. It was written by a woman. But at the end of the day, no matter how mean they were, they forgave each other and they figured out how to make it work. And I think that that's really important. And I also need to listen to my own advice, but like,
I need to watch that film.
Yeah.
I've never really watched it with the eyes of being a father of a daughter who she's at the perfect age. She's 10.
Yeah.
I could probably show that to her now.
Totally.
And she would get it because I'm seeing that girls are just mean.
They're mean. And they will be mean forever. And not just girls, people will be mean.
Oh, absolutely.
I always thought, like, when I was a kid, I can't guys wait to grow up. Guys are more catty
than ever.
It's
trust
true.
Me.
With the internet? Yeah. You know? I sound
these
like
these little boys are catty.
I'm person with the internet these days.
No, but I mean, you have to give the people the tools as they grow up and as it's in their face. Like, my daughter's on TikTok and all her friends are on TikTok.
Exactly, yeah.
You know? And you make it, you know, one of these cries going to be on TikTok. Something like that. Wow, a refrain, and then it's just like a hand motion, and you know.
Okay, I'm going to have all the kids crying.
Fuck yeah. All right, bonus question.
Oh my gosh.
If we could toss out or tease. We don't want to throw out something that's not released, but what is, from your past works? I mean, I'm a fan of a few songs. We haven't even really talked about DIY and how it's a perfect pop song.
Oh my God. Thank you.
So maybe I throw that at you, but what would the song we should go out on?
I'd say DIY. Let's rock it.
Fucking makes sense, right? Yeah. DIY totally. For life.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Sam, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome.
Music Supercast is a production of Sorrel Studios and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.